Yes, wonderful. Thank you, Ben. I want to say how much Bev and I appreciate our staff here at Unity of Pompano. Being able to be gone without worrying about everything being taken care of is really a blessing. So, Ben, we appreciate all of you and Susie and John for carrying on. And it's good to be back, too. Well, as you heard earlier, the theme for this month of August is acceptance. And today I want to share with you about accepting self. Next week we'll take a look at accepting others. And the third week we're going to take a look at accepting mystery, which is something hopefully you haven't heard talked about before. Now, despite all the discouragements and the taboos that we have in our culture against being selfish and being self-centered and thinking about ourselves, there is so much about spiritual balance and spiritual growth that begins and depends on deliberate self-examination, self-awareness, and self-acceptance. Now, there are basically two perspectives from which we can go through this process of looking at ourselves. One of them is looking at ourselves as human beings and looking at what we do, how we live, the things that we think and feel and speak and do. The problem with that, one of the problems is, there's no real standard about how we look at that. How do we decide if we are acceptable to ourselves? It depends on who you ask. If you ask a billionaire what is acceptable out in the world, you're going to get one answer. If you ask someone who's barely getting by, getting their rent paid, you're going to get another answer. If you ask one person who's in a certain profession, you'll get an answer. In another profession, you'll get another answer. So one of the challenges with deciding whether to accept ourselves or not, depending on our humanness, is that it changes so much. And it changes day to day, sometimes hour by hour. We see things differently. So we don't have any real standard to depend on. It's always a moving target there when we're looking at our self-acceptance based on our humanness, our experience of being human. So there's a second perspective that we can move from, and that is looking at ourselves as a spiritual being. Now, this is a very different perspective because there is no change in our spiritual beingness. We certainly change our awareness, our understanding. That changes with our maturity and with our experience. But the basic element, the basic principle of our spiritual beingness never changes. No matter the circumstances, no matter the time, no matter our thoughts, feelings, behaviors, our spiritual beingness is always, always based in oneness with Spirit. And that, on that we can depend. So no matter what nationality you are, no matter where you live on earth, no matter what family you're in, no matter what your behavior was in the last hour, that oneness never, ever changes. And we can always hold to that. We can always depend on that. So if we're going to find a place, a perspective from which we're going to decide whether we are acceptable to ourselves or not, which one do you think is a better place to be? A perspective that is constantly changing and that nobody has a standard on, or a perspective that is solid and unchanging based on substance, based on principle? Well, the obvious answer is that I'd much rather base my self-acceptance on that which does not change than that which is always changing. So we're going to take a look at that a little bit further this morning. Now, most of you are aware of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the couple who founded Unity 120 years ago now. And a lot of times I've heard people say that Charles is the head of Unity and Myrtle is the heart of Unity, because of their perspectives and the way that they speak and write. And I've come to disagree with that, because there are times when Charles can get into the heart and get into the feelings of things, and he does that very well. And there's some times when Myrtle is a really, really good metaphysician. And she's not just about touchy-feely heart things, but she gets down to the solid metaphysics of things. I'd like to read a passage for you out of one of her books called How to Let God Help You, which is a compilation, much like Charles's books. It's a compilation of her lectures and her writings. Another book from Myrtle called Myrtle's Healing Letters, is a compilation of the letters that she wrote to people who wrote in asking for prayer. And this is where Myrtle did most of her work, and that's why we often think of Myrtle as the heart of Unity, because she dealt mostly with those people who were writing asking for prayer. And she responded to every one of the requests that she got personally. And in the beginning, she did it by hand. And every one of them was written. So Myrtle's Healing Letters are a compilation of many of those letters that went out to people and addressed their issues. But in this particular passage, Myrtle is acting as a really strong metaphysician. And she says, "The visible universe is but the externalization of thought. Humankind, a spiritual word or thought, has existed from the beginning. Hence, in reality, humankind's higher self is spiritual, not human. We are life and intelligence expressed. We think and our thoughts become objective as forms. These forms are many grades of density, or as the physical scientist would say, many grades of molecular vibration. The real person is not any of these forms. We are the force that causes the forms to exist." Listen to that again. "The real person is not any of these outer forms. We are the force that causes the forms to exist. We are the energy of the life behind all the forms. And when we know this, every phase of phenomenal life comes under our dominion. Thus, spiritual science teaches that only limited results can be attained by studying the body or any of its conditions. The body has its origin in the mind and can be successfully regulated only from that point." So this brings me back again to emphasizing the importance and significance of utilizing our spiritual beingness as the foundation for whether we accept ourselves or not. Now, I can hear some people thinking about this. "Oh, you're saying that we're just these perfect spiritual beings and it doesn't matter what we do." I can remember when I was a kid growing up in Louisville, Mississippi, a tiny little burg in rural Mississippi. The only Catholic church in town was about as big as our restrooms. And I didn't know diddly about Catholic people, as very few did where I grew up. But I always had the idea, you could go kill somebody and go to the priest and confess it and it's okay. I mean, that was mine. Innocence and naivete and ignorance about that situation. So I'm not suggesting that just because you realize that you're a spiritual being that anything you can do anything you want to and it's okay. It is true that no matter what you feel, think, or do, your spiritual beingness does not change. It does not diminish you. It does not make you any less of spirit expressing than when you act in a way that we would consider perfect. So how do we deal with that? That is disturbing for some people. The fact is that when we base our acceptance of ourselves in our spiritual beingness, we look at everything differently. As Myrtle said here, when we know that the real person is the energy behind the form, that the real part of us is spirit, when we know this, every phase of phenomenal life comes under our dominion. So when we're operating from a foundation of being aware of and having embraced and experiencing our spiritual nature, we can see other things differently. So when I look at myself from my spiritual nature and say, "Lawrence, boy, that decision you made yesterday was really a boner. That was not smart at all. That made no sense whatsoever." Then instead of judging myself and saying, "Well, I'm not going to accept myself anymore because I made that dumb decision," we can say, "I stand in my spiritual beingness, realizing that with the information I had at that time, with the feelings that were going on inside of me, with the thoughts that were going on inside of me, that choice that I made was logical considering all those things, even though from this perspective I realize it was not a good choice to make. And knowing what I know now, I will not make that choice again." Can you see the difference in looking at that from a spiritual perspective and looking at it from in the midst of it? When you're in the midst of a bad decision, it's really hard to be self-accepting in that moment and not be judgmental, because you have those rules and regulations that you may have violated in that decision. That does not change your spiritual beingness whatsoever. So I can return to this place of accepting myself as a spiritual being, looking at all of my thoughts, feelings, and actions, and saying, this one worked out pretty well. Okay, that's all right. This one was really dumb. I won't do that one again. And this one I'm not too sure about. We'll find out about this one later. I can do that from that elevated position of consciousness of a spiritual being. You see how significant that can be for us. It makes a world of difference in how we live in the world. And I'm going to speak next week about accepting others. And the same principle will come into play in a little bit of a different way. But it's important for us in the beginning, and again, in our culture, we're often told not to be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Don't think about yourself. But I found that if you don't think about yourself, you have trouble thinking about other people in any kind of positive way. So it is indeed important that we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves in an objective kind of way, that we examine our human behavior, not from a human perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, so that I can see what's going on without judging it, without rejecting myself, still being able to accept myself as a spiritual being, living out in this world and sometimes making decisions that work out well and sometimes don't. Sometimes saying things that were really clear and to the spot, and sometimes saying things that make no sense whatsoever. And sometimes feeling things that are consistent with the heart of a spiritual being, and sometimes having feelings that are so silly and selfish and immature that it shows up in a crazy way out in the world. But again, when I do those crazy things, when I do those silly things, that does not change my spiritual beingness at all. Not at all. It gives me the power and the place to look at myself in a different way and to say, this is how I'm going to change my behavior because of what I see. Instead of saying, oh, I'm a sorry human being. I failed again. I messed up. Everything that my parents said about me is true, and just getting into despair over it. You don't need to do that. Now, it is important that we hold ourselves, as we do, as I'll talk about next week, holding other people accountable for thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Certainly to be held accountable, but not in a blaming kind of way. Our world is changing so much. There are things that go on in the business world now that would never have happened even 5 years ago. There are things happening in our political realm, people acting in ways that would not have been accepted 5 years ago. In a positive way, there are some things happening that are being challenge now that were acceptable before. Racial comments at one time were kind of grinned at and gone on are being challenged now. The perspective on women is being challenged now, and that is a good thing. That is a good thing. So as we stand in our spiritual beingness, in our spiritual knowing, we look at these things again without judgment, but with deep awareness and deep willingness to be a part of the positive light evolution of human consciousness. And as Myrtle said to us once again, the real person is not any of these forms out in the world. We are the force that causes the forms to exist. And when we know this, every phase of phenomenal life comes under our dominion. Ever since I was a kid, I've been impressed by the creation story. When the story tells us in Genesis that God is speaking to Adam and Eve, He creates them, He puts them in this wonderful garden, and He says, now go fruit, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the earth, which means you're in charge. This is your place. What happens to it is up to you. And we see where we've gotten ourselves in some areas because of that. But having dominion means having responsibility and having the ability to be responsible. That was given to Adam and Eve, and it's given to us. And we have that responsibility of creating our world as it can be. That can only happen when we live from our spiritual awareness, when we live from our spiritual beingness, and we look out into the world and feel, act, and think appropriately. We are the force behind all that is in the world. Now that force works, period. It works. If we're making bad decisions, we are still creative in the world. If we're making good decisions, we are creative in the world. If we are unsure about things and we just spin around in circles, that even that is creative in the world. And when we go out and we hold the highest thoughts, that is creative in the world. When we go out into a day standing firmly on the foundation of our spiritual beingness, that is creative in our world. That is what's in our hands. We are to have dominion over this earth, which means being responsible for it. And one of the ways we do that is accepting ourselves as a spiritual being and seeing ourselves operating in our human realm, guided by our spiritual awareness. And that makes all the difference in the world. When we go out into the world, and all that we do in our relationships, within ourselves and with others, when we begin, we start, and we operate from that firm foundation of spiritual knowingness and accepting ourselves as a spiritual being first and foremost, we are one, connected with spirit, and from that we get the wisdom we need, we get the strength that we need, the courage we need, the understanding that we need. All that we need is there for us as we look out into the world. So as you go into this week, I encourage you to give some thought about accepting yourself. And when you start thinking about accepting yourself, be careful not to slip into accepting yourself or rejecting yourself as a human being, but accepting yourself as a spiritual being and then going from there. You'll be much more informed, and I assure you things will go a whole lot better for you. So give it a whirl. You are a spiritual being. I am one with spirit. God bless you.
And join us in the coming weeks. There's more and more. Because this philosophy that unity holds may not be what was your tradition in growing up. Perhaps you were taught you were born as a sinner and God would reject you unless you're perfect. These are not ideas that are even biblical, and certainly unity doesn't hold them. So stay tuned as we learn more and more about acceptance. The books that Lawrence mentioned by Myrtle Fillmore are available to you for a free download if you choose to go to truthunity.net and do a search there, and you'll be able to download Myrtle's two books, Healing Letters, and the other one is How to Let God Help You. So we can tell you how to let God help you help us, and that is by sending in your donation. There are many ways to give here. We also have Amazon Smile charitable contribution available with your shopping. So take a look at ways to give and choose one of those, would you please, as you accept yourself as a spiritual being, would you please also recognize the value here in this teaching, getting this teaching out into the minds and hearts of our entire community and world. So we thank you for everything you give, and we have a blessing that we like to use here. We do it now with good, but you can think in any way that you would like to switch around these words. You might even say love, love is mine, and so forth. For now, let's do it with good. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. And ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.